Welcome to the Gingersburg Podcast. After today's message, take a sec and download the Gingersburg app. It's the best way to find out about and engage with what's happening at Gingersburg. We hope the following message helps you activate your faith and take the next step with your journey with Jesus.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for coming out and being part of this service this morning. I'm Pastor Dennis. Today, we're in week number 4 of our current teaching series, The Games People Play, where we're using board games, as Dan says, as a launching pad to talk about our relationship with Jesus and other people. So I begin with a question. Where is the ethical line that you won't cross? Because truth and integrity define who we really are. In 1984, Milton Bradley came out with one of its most popular board games of the decade, entitled A Question of Scruples. How many people have played this game? It's not as popular today as it was. Raise your hand if you're familiar so I can know in the house who's played this game. It was kind of an adult truth or dare where individuals were faced with different ethical or moral dilemmas and would have to respond. So it was a series of questions and answers. Today, let's go ahead and look at some of those questions from the board game. And I want you to participate in your mind. What would you do? So here's an example. Here's one right from the game. Your boss gives you expensive front row tickets to a hit play. You forget to mark the date on your calendar and miss the performance. The next day, your boss asks, "How was the play? Do you admit that you missed it?" What would you do? Think about that. And then what would happen after you would give your response, others in the game would either give you a halo or a pitchfork, and that would be part of the scoring, okay? Here's another one. You buy a cocktail dress for a special occasion. Wear it once and realize you have little further use for it. Do you return the dress as unworn and ask for a refund, halo, or pitchfork? Okay. Here's another one. And I want you now to participate. If you're sitting near someone, turn towards them and give your response. If you're online, if you'll go ahead and type this in the chat this morning. Okay. A fellow worker is injured in an accident on the job. You're a witness, but your testimony would be damaging to the company. Do you come forward with the information? What do you do? Go ahead and turn towards your neighbor and say, what would you do? Would you share what really happened or would you hold it? And let your friend give you a pitchfork or halo. Hard one, isn't it? Okay, I'm going to give you one more. This is right from the game. And I ask you to participate. This one's a tough one. Some of us have been in this situation that I'm going to read. What would you do? A troublesome employee, I'm going to underline the word troublesome to you. A troublesome employee applies for a position in another department. You're relieved. When you're asked for a reference, do you give a glowing report so the transfer can go through without any snags? What would you do? How would you respond? Would you write the good reference? Go ahead and share that. If you're online, go ahead and put it in the chat if you want to be honest. Or if you're not going to be honest, pitchfork or halo, right? Yeah, tough, isn't it? Every day here in the Miami Valley and throughout the world, we're faced with fuzzy ethical dilemmas. And what made A Question of Scruples such a popular game, at least back in the 80s, is that integrity was a missing link. Maybe it's not as popular because we got it all figured out today, right? No. Lord help us, right? Because integrity, yes, today, is a missing link in our society. It's missing in our own lives, if we're honest at times. It's missing in our homes. And even within the Church of Jesus Christ today, we see how much it's needed. Integrity is defined in the dictionary this way: steadfast adherence to a strict moral or ethical code. The word integrity has the same root word as the word integration. So integrity, people with integrity have integrated faith into their lives. And now, since we have a working definition of integrity, what I want to do for the remainder of this time is to take us to a Bible story out of the first book of the Bible, Genesis. As we look at this biblical character, we'll see how integrity came shining through in the midst of many different opportunities to go a million different directions. And in the midst of looking at his life, the life of Joseph, from Genesis chapters 37 to 50 and following, we'll look at our own lives and say, what will we do? How would we respond? How would we act if we were put in this very same situation? So Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob, and he was dad's favorite. How many of us grew up in a family where we've had siblings? Were you the favorite or someone else? And if you were not the favorite and you felt that your parents played favorites, how did that make you feel? Some of us are still living with the hurt and the damaged emotions from that kind of upbringing. Perhaps you were the favorite. How did your sister, how did your brother feel about that? And that was the situation here. And it didn't help that Joseph often told his dad and his brothers that he was the greatest. A lot of family dynamics going on here. That he was special. And he started to tell them that he was having dreams, that he was super special, and that someday they would all bow down to him. How do you think that went over with the brothers? In fact, one day he walked into the house and he said, I just want to make an announcement. God's given me a vision. I don't fully understand it. I don't fully know it. I've gotten still a little bit cloudy, but I know it'll come to pass that someday you're going to be bowing down to me. Someday you're going to be not only honoring me, but you're going to be serving me. Someday I'm going to lord over you. Again, how do you think those brothers felt about that? You know, if I did that when I was a kid growing up in our household and I went in and announced that in the living room to my father, I could just see my dad right now. He'd be sitting in his lazy boy. He'd look over the Times Recorder newspaper, that was the name of our hometown newspaper, and he would say something like, okay, but could you first take out the trash, Your Majesty? And so you can sense the tension going on in the family unit here. You can understand why those brothers had bad feelings, and the Bible says they started to plot to kill him. It was Reuben, the oldest, who had compassion, who did not want to see his brother die. And so he said, let's put him away. Let's put him in a well. Now Reuben, the Bible indicates, had this idea that he would come back and to rescue Joseph in time. But the Bible says, as Joseph was in this well, that a band of Ishmaelites, a desert band of gypsies making their way to Egypt, came by, and the brothers sold Joseph into slavery, and they made their way to Egypt. In fact, we're going to pick up right here. The story now takes a very interesting twist. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to Genesis chapter 39 and following. We'll start at verse 1, just kind of work our way down in this amazing story. Now remember, he's in Egypt now. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. That's what I just share, okay? Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. Pause right there. Several times in this story that I'll mention and I won't mention, but if we read the whole thing, we see that phrase. And the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord prospered Joseph. So right there in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. How much? A portion? A little bit? Everything that he owned. He believed in him. He saw, in a sense, God's anointing on him because he could see that he was being blessed. God had prospered him. And we'll see, because of this anointing in the house with Joseph, that Potiphar also was blessed. Now, I don't have it on the screen because Pastor forgot to submit it this week, but look at verse 5. From the time, I'll just go on, he was put in charge, meaning Joseph, of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. Right? The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, so that in the house and in the field, so even his crops were blessed. And in verse 6, so Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except for the food he ate. So he had this once slave who became his right-hand person, who became his leader in the household, his attendant, his first in charge, who he trusted with everything. He did not worry anymore. Everything was in his hand. He could go on. He could live his life in leadership. Now, let's go back to scruples for a moment. Here is the question. Ask yourself, your boss or your overseer, supervisor, just puts you in charge of the entire company. No one else knows the ins and outs of the accounting books. Here's the question of scruples. Do you skim a little off the top for yourself? Pitchfork or halo. It'd be easy for Joseph to do. He could have rationalized. He could have said, you know, no one really cares about me. My parents didn't care about me. My brothers didn't care about me. They sold me as a slave. Potiphar, I'm still under him. He bought me as a slave. I'm entitled to something. Look at all the work I do around this place when no one else does any work. It'd been easy to rationalize it all away. What would you do? Now, we want to say, hey, we're believers. We're Christ followers. We wouldn't. But I know even within the church, these kind of ethical questions and dilemmas can be cloudy for some. In fact, I shared in the first service that I saw this lived out time and time again to my sadness and horror as a district superintendent, overseeing 170 Methodist churches in Southeast Ohio for 7 years. Every single year, there'd be at least one embezzlement in a church. One person even went to prison. It was really sad to see how people would struggle. And that's why every church needs to have checks and balances, and why I'm grateful for here where we put extra precautions up. We need that. Yes, we believe. We trust each other. But we are stewards of something greater. So what would you do in your situation? Every single year in the state of Ohio, people steal tremendous amounts of money and other things. What would you do? Verse 5, he was blessed. because he had God's anointing on him. And that blessing continued because he never lost God's anointing. Now, let's go on in the story because it gets even juicier. And I've entitled this next part of the story, A Steamy Episode of Desperate Egyptian Housewives. 2000 BC version, okay? Now it says in verse 6, the later part, check this out. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. What do you think he looked like there? Well, we don't really have a photo image of him. We can look at the original Hebrew to say, what does it mean to be a hunk in those days? I referred back to biblical scholar, Hebrew scholar, Rachel Miller. Have you heard of her? She defines this little phrase as someone who is 6'3 years old, who needs to stand up straighter, who has graying brown hair and wears glasses and rides a motorcycle. That's what that looks like. Simply this. So it says this. After a while, his master's wife, meaning Potiphar's wife, took notice of Joseph. Man, he's something else. He's quite a looker. He's something else. And she said, come to bed with me. I forgot to warn you, this is the PG version sermon this morning. So here's the question of scruples. Your boss's beautiful wife wants you to go to bed with her. You won't get caught because the boss trusts you completely, do you? Now, I'm sure that the Pharaoh's guard's spouse was attractive. This was a wealthy person, and in that culture, that she would have probably been considered in some way that. We don't really know. But let's imagine that. He's far away from home. He's 17 years old. Think back, for some of you, when you were 17 years old. No, don't think back. Think back when you were 17 years old. Nobody would ever know if I do this, or no one will ever know if I look at this image, or no one will ever know if I cross this boundary or not. What would you do? Your mom and dad is hundreds of miles away. You get the picture? This is unbelievable. See, we need to read this stuff. This is better than any soap opera that we can watch. Here's what happened. But he refused. He said this, with me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Let me pause right here. In Joseph's mind, who was he sinning against if he crossed this ethical boundary? Not simply sinning against her, violating her and her marriage, not simply violating Potiphar and his trust, not even simply violating and sinning against himself. But he said, how could I sin against God? He saw this whole action was something that he would do to dishonor God. And then he goes on, and though she spoke to Joseph day and night, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. And so it says over and over again, she's trying to seduce him, just right out of the soaps. But he refused. And finally, one day, she cornered him. This was going to be the opportunity, but he refused. And then we have this scene where he tried to get away, and she grabbed his cloak, she grabbed his garment as he fled away. She was so upset. She was so mad. She was so hurt. So how did she react? She went back to her husband and said, look what your servant did to me. He tried to take advantage of me. He tried to rape me. And Potiphar immediately responded by throwing Joseph in jail. That's very interesting that he went to jail, because in that day, it would have been very common if a slave tried to violate another person, especially a person in this position, they would be put to death. This would have been ultimate death penalty right here. But Joseph was not killed. Why? Maybe, just maybe, Potiphar knew his wife too well. Maybe he knew what was really going on. But to save face, he had to do what he did. And so Joseph went to jail. But remember, the Lord's anointing was on Joseph. How important is this anointing of this man of integrity? As he's in prison, as he's in jail, the Lord had not forsaken him. The Lord was with him. And the Bible says that over time, he gained the trust of the warden. He gained the trust of the guards. And they realized that God's anointing and anything around Joseph prospered. And so he was put in charge of the other prisoners. It was even said that when Joseph was in charge of the prisoners, that the warden and the guards didn't even have to worry, because they knew that Joseph was a person of integrity. And then the story goes on, how as he's in jail, God's still at work. God's still working behind the scenes. That's why even in the moment when we do the right thing, it may hurt, just know that God hasn't forsaken us. That God sees your heart. God sees your work. God sees that you are trying to live for him, and he will honor that in time. Don't be discouraged. God is working behind the scenes. And I want to say that because God may be working behind the scenes in your life. When you say, does it really matter? It really matters. And we see that then the Pharaoh, the leader of the whole land, took notice as he's having these dreams. Who can interpret these dreams? And it was Joseph they brought forth. And Joseph went from being a slave boy to second in all of Egypt. It's a great story. Read the rest of it. Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 50. We see that he even was used by God to save his family. His family did come finally. They did, in a sense, honor him. And all things came full circle, just as it was said, because God's anointing was on Joseph. Remarkable story. And what it says is that God has a plan for all of us. We don't fully see it all. We don't know it all. We need to be humble about it. But if we live as people of integrity, where we've integrated our life and our faith together, then God is smiling. God comes through when we make the right choices and says, way to go. It also brings peace. It also brings freedom. It also brings deliverance when we know that we are living in the will of God. So, because scruples is a game of questions, I'm going to ask you some questions. This is a hard-hitting Lenten message today. Maybe harder than you think. Because here are the questions. Here's the take home. Here's the so what. How we live this week. Let me give you three questions in closing. As you look at your own life this morning, ask yourself, what things do I allow to occur that hinder me from becoming a person of integrity like Joseph? What are those things? Just name one or two that we could be enchained to today. Maybe something no one knows. Maybe we don't think it's that big of a deal with the society, but we know it's holding us back from being all that God would have us to be. What are those things this morning? Just go ahead in your mind and list those things. If you have a piece of paper, you may want to write it down just for you and God. Go ahead and do that. And then the second question is a follow-up to that. Why? Why do I allow these things to continue if I know they hinder me from becoming all that God wants me to be? Is it that I'm in bondage to it? Then we need to be free. Whoever the Son sets free is what? Greater is he who is within you than he is within the world. We need to be delivered. We need to be set free if we are addicted to these things. Or perhaps it's just fear, which we can be freed from as well. Perhaps it's priorities. Our priorities are out of whack. Perhaps it's just that we don't have the mind of Christ. We have a worldly mind. And it's just to get ahead, whoever we step on the way up the ladder. But when Christ comes, he reverses the order where the greatest among you will be the least of all. Why do we do the things that we do? Why do we allow these things to continue? Put that in your mind. And finally, this. And here's the whole ball game right here. How and when will I face this head on and begin the process of change? Who do I need to talk to about this to help, to hold me accountable? Because you see, no person is an island. We can't live life alone, right? We were created to be in relationship with others. Who do we need to talk to? This is why group life at Ginsburg is so important, where we can rub shoulders together, where we can step out of the shadows and into the light and to realize that iron sharpens iron, and we can bear one another's burdens. We can do the one another things in the Bible. We can forgive one another. We can love one another. We can confess our sins to one another. We can grow with one another. We can be encouraged by one another. Is it a coach that you need to guide you along life's way? Is it a counselor that you need? We have New Creation Counseling Center here. What a gift that we're in this wonderful partnership birthed out of this Ginsburg movement that still meets on our care campus today. Do you need to get in to see some people and talk to a counselor in a confidential way? Or perhaps it's just in a support group or a men's group or the men's Wednesday morning group or maybe the women's ministry here where you can do life together. How and when will I face this head on and begin the process of change? Well, if you've been around this church very long, you know today's the day of salvation. Now's the appointed time. You see, Jesus Christ, a man who had more integrity than we can even imagine, who was sinless, who was perfect, and yet he humbled himself and he went to the cross for us on Calvary that he might take on our shame. He might take on our addiction. He may take on our struggle and pain. He saw us in our half-truths and our white lies and our rationalizations. And he says, as the way, the truth, and the life, the living incarnation of truth, I've come for you to give you a fresh start, to give you a clean slate, to give you a starting over, to give you a second chance, a new lease on life. That's what I've come to do if you'll just be honest and you'll give your life fully to me and surrender. I don't know about you, but I'm holding up the white flag today. I'm waving it. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. There's an old song that we used to sing. And then we get to the chorus. I surrender 10%. We didn't sing that. I surrender 70%. No. I surrender all. I give you my life fully. Take me as I am, but change me from the inside out. For that is the prayer that we pray today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being patient while we played games with others and you. But this morning, we just want to be real because you see us who we really are. We want to be honest. We want to be truthful. We pray this morning that your Holy Spirit will come And you will turn us into people like Joseph. You'll turn us into people of integrity. And we know, Lord, that we don't do this alone on our own might, but it's by your Spirit. That over and over again, we've been reminded this morning, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. Thank you that you are with us. You never leave us or forsake us. And so help us today as we kneel at the cross for you with us to raise us up to new life. For we pray this in Jesus' name. If you believe it, if you receive it, say hallelujah today. Thanks be to God.
I hope you enjoyed today's message. I've got two invitations for you before you go. First, subscribe to our podcast so it shows up in your feed every week. And if today's message inspired you and you would like more people to hear it, you can give a financial gift through the Ginghamsburg app or online at ginghamsburg.org.